Father, I thank you for Brother Mark here and for his willingness to come share with us in this way. I just pray that you would give him freedom and just the ability to share in an easy way these things with us. Just bless each parent. It will help us to know how to walk through these things with our children, Lord. And where we've failed in the past, I just pray that you'd help us to know how to go on from here, and Lord, to raise godly children that are shielded from the evils that this world throws at them. Father, bless this time, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And I believe that at the end here, Brother Mark's going to open it up for questions. So if you have a question that comes to your mind throughout the message, jot it down, and he'll give us an opportunity to end for that.
Thanks for sharing that, Brother Levi. Good introduction to our subject here. It's a blessing to be here with you all. Brother Stephen, his sermon this morning, and specifically on the need for us to take initiative as fathers, and then as well, Brother Andy in relationships and relating together. I'm just going to say that those things tie very, very closely to what I'm going to share here today. And it's very difficult in a short time like this to really put into place and give us a good, balanced perspective on the subject. But bear with me on that a bit. I'll try to share in a way that can be a blessing for all of us. Like Brother Levi shared, I'm going to say that our journey as a family, when the subject really became very real to me, I'm going to say probably around 22 years ago, I was in some meetings, and I remember during the meetings being in a small prayer group, sharing together. And there was an older man there with us. And in the middle of that little prayer group, I'm not sure how the subject came up, but he said something that I'll never forget. He said, "I have one son." And he said, "My son is now grown and he's married. And he's never been into any immorality or any masturbation or anything of that sort." And in considering that statement, it has put us as a family, I'm going to say, on a journey of where we are today on some of those things. I'll never forget that. But it has put us on a journey. And what I am going to share with you here today is our journey as a family on the subject with all that. Because that was an inspiration. And as a young father, back in the day, that meant something to me. And there's a vision that started rising within my heart that it's possible to raise pure young men and young women. The goal of today is to help us in our journey of instilling the holiness and the purity of the whole subject of the physical things, of instilling, helping us to know how to convey those things to our children in an effective way that actually helps them. I know of many situations of dads who have, in their endeavor, have actually put curiosity into their children, and the curiosity has taken them on places that they shouldn't have gone. And of course, as you go through here, feel free to make notes as we go through it. In our culture, I'm sure that there are some people here, that there's some of the cultures that you all come from. This whole subject of sexual relations, the whole subject of even pregnancies, is a taboo subject to even talk about. Even the word pregnancy, some of those words, there's some of the cultures that maybe some of you come from, those terms aren't even used because of a fear to do something that would stir things in a negative way. And so I'm just going to say that it's because of the neglect of fathers being proactive on this subject that we have what we have in so many, many homes where there's a lot of impurity going on. And my desire is to somehow inspire us to move forward in knowing how to do that. Turn with me to an opening scripture, to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 3. I want to read a couple of verses here. And like Brother Levi shared, it's a bit of a difficult subject to talk about. And yet I believe a very necessary subject to talk about, a very necessary subject. And for many parents, because we haven't known how to move forward, we haven't done anything. And so God help us with that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I want to read here. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He's called all of us to holiness. And we as parents, He's calling us to be able to teach these things to our children in an effective way that they know how to possess their vessel in a way of sanctification. Now, my first heading that I have here is simply, our children will find out the facts of life. Am I right? They will find them out. Now, I'd like to maybe have a raise of hands of how many of you found out the facts of life in a negative, perverted, or not in a holy way. Raise your hand if you found it out in a negative way. Okay? And I'd also like to have a raise of hands of how many found out the facts of life in a holy, pure way. Raise your hand. Very good. There's a fair amount. I would say it's about half and half. It's good. I'm sorry, it's good. No, it's not good. It ought to be totally the other way. But there is a fair amount that found out the subject in a good way. Our goal... Okay, they will find out the facts of life either in a holy, pure, godly way, or they'll figure it out, find it out in a perverted way, either one or the other. I count it a great privilege, a blessing from God, to have the privilege to share with our children the facts of life in a holy and pure way. Right? And so if we're going to do that, we're going to need to be proactive in doing it before they find out some other way, right? All right? And by the way, no sleeping here this afternoon. No sleeping. I know it's 2 o'clock. Everyone's tummies are full, but no sleeping here. I haven't seen any yet, but no sleeping. There's many that find out the facts of life through peers, through curiosity and self-exploration, or through books or magazines or things that they find out. There's many that find it out through some other way. Okay? And so I feel it's important that we're proactive in moving forward, in diligently helping our children find our way through these things. because they will find it out. Here's another thing that we want to do here for our children is we'd like to help them find out the facts of life in a way that will take the curiosity away. I don't know if you follow that train of thought. This whole subject carries a great amount of curiosity to those who don't know. And if there's a level of unknown, it has a tendency to stir up the mind, the thought of exploration and endeavoring to find out. So one of our goals here is to give a level of understanding to our children to an extent that it satisfies, it gives a holy, pure, godly perspective, and it takes the curiosity away. That's a big goal. I've had young people tell me that my father handed me a book, actually a very good book, about the facts of life, but I was already on the journey trying to figure it out, and it only sped up that process. I don't know if you follow the train of thought. I was handed a book, actually a good book, about a holy perspective on the facts of life, but because there was no dialogue between parents and children, and that door wasn't open, their curiosity only deepened and went further. So one of our goals is to try to help our children have a level of knowledge and understanding that puts them to rest. But not give so much that it puts them in a place with, that's defiling. Now, I want to share with you something, and I hesitate to do this because our family isn't all grown. But I'd like for you to just know that there is hope. You know, I shared with you about that man that put us on that journey. My wife and I, we have 7 boys and 1 girl. Our oldest 2 boys are married. And the ones that are at home presently, there's a 23-year-old young man still at home. We have a 22-year-old daughter that's getting married in a couple weeks here. We have a 19-year-old young man. We have a 15-year-old young man. And we have a 13-year-old and an 8-year-old. So we have 7 boys and 1 girl. So they're not all grown. So I say this with great carefulness. But I'd like to just share with you that up to this point, there's none of our children have ever gotten into any type of immorality. There's never been any masturbation. There's never been any involvement in immorality with our family. They've been able to come up through, get married, be totally pure, never been into any of those things. And I say that carefully because ours aren't all grown. But I'd like to just share that with you to give you courage that those things are very possible. These things are very possible. They're attainable. They're very attainable. It's very possible. It's something that all of us here should be striving for and moving toward. Like I say, I want to be very careful because ours aren't all grown. They aren't all grown. They're not all married. But that's a blessing. I'd like to maybe start just giving some general guidelines of carefulness because our children interact with other children, right? And there's a in interacting, and I'm going to say in our homes, interacting at church, interacting in various places, we never know what can come up and the involvement that other children might have had that will bring influence on our children. So first of all, before I go into some of the details, I'd like to give some general guidelines of carefulness. Be very vigilant in your children in the growing up years, coming up through age 10, 12, 14. Be diligent in knowing where your children are. After church, they ought to have specific guidelines as to where they are in open areas that are not secluded and hidden and away from other people. In your home, when there's families from church over, visitors, whoever it might be, it's always important to have clear guidelines that the children know that bedrooms, for example, are just simply off limits. If someone needs to walk in, grab something, come back out, that's fine. But to play behind closed doors is always a no-no. Playing in designated areas, whether it's outside, it's very important that our children have very specific guidelines as to what they can and can't do, both when there's visitors over, as well as when our children are just simply playing by themselves. Okay? There's probably some of you know of stories, or maybe your own personal involvement of things that happened in your growing up years. And there are certain places that are hidden that when children are allowed to just have total free reign and play wherever they want to in secrecy and seclusion, some of these things will tend to happen because of curiosity just happen. And so having oversight, having specific guidelines for your children, whether you're just at home by yourselves and normal playing, guidelines have clear expectations as well as when friends are over. Very, very important. As well as when we go other people's houses the same way. Now, I'd like to maybe move in and talk a bit about teaching them how to teach our children starting from a young age on up through. Now, I'm going to say that this is extremely important. Very, very important. This type of subject needs to be at a place where we can freely relate to our children on a totally free level. And that comes by starting to do it when they're 2 and 3 years old. Now, you can start when they're older, but it's just a lot more difficult for it to start flowing. I don't know if you follow that. You can start when you're older, you know, when they're up in their, into the teen years. But it just becomes much more difficult for that flowing to happen. And even to this day, we have a couple that are married. And if there's any type of difficulty or anything that comes up, it's totally free and normal for us to just have dialogue about any specific situation. Where do they come? They come to mom and dad. That's where they feel open. That's where they feel free. That's where, it's been a part of their life for all of their life. They, our oldest is 26 years old. All their life, that's all they know is relating to mom and dad on these types of issues. Dialoguing, talking, that's who they are. It's a part of life. Dialoguing and talking about these issues. So, starting from a young age, a good place to begin is when we bathe our children. Now, as a little baby, you might do it in the tub, for a couple of years, you'll be there to help them, okay? And what happens when, when a youngster, 1, 2, 3, is in the bathtub and you're bathing them, and they're exposed. They're not used to being exposed. And what happens if they're exposed? All of a sudden, there's a tendency for them to start playing with themselves, right? That's just sort of a normal tendency. That right there is, I'm going to say, the place to start teaching, talking, and training them right there. They're young. They're, you know, a year and a half, and they start playing with themselves, and you just like anything else, not playing with flowers or whatever it might be. You know, you just give specific instruction, might even, you know, snap their little fingers or something, you know, to get their attention. But it's, they don't play with their private parts. Here's another thing. In this stage, it's very important for them to become used to hearing the private body parts by name. For example, if it's a boy, you talk about if he's messing with his penis, you just use that word. You know, don't play with your penis. Okay? Use that terminology. They need to become familiar with the name. Use that name. For a girl, use the word vagina. And obviously, very clearly, you know, it shouldn't be mixed bathing. Maybe if they're really young, maybe two boys, maybe, but it very quickly comes into a stage where it's, you know, they look at each other and those things are just simply not appropriate. But be very careful with that. So, in that bathing state right there, you know, often either mom or dad helps with the bathing time. And so we don't maybe ask every time, but, you know, they get bathed, and maybe every couple weeks, you know, I might say, okay, you know, you remember, you know, even if they haven't been playing, you know, you just remember that you never, never play with your penis. And you just never, never play with your penis. Okay? You know, it's okay to clean. And, you know, this is a two-year-old. You know, they don't know anything, right? Okay. But you just tell them. You know, you just tell them, you never play with your penis. And also, this is very special. God made it. And you never let anyone else see your private parts. Never, ever. Never, ever. And also, if anyone ever talks about this kind of thing, come and tell mom and daddy right away. Right away. All right? So, from a year and a half, 2 years of age, we're instilling in them that they know what these private parts' names are, and also that it's private. We're telling them, don't ever show, and if anyone ever talks, come to us right away. Okay, so there's clear instruction. If there's any type of dialogue anywhere that happens somewhere, guess what they'll do? Boom, they'll come and tell mom and daddy right away. Because it's an open subject, right? It's an open subject that's, you know, that we have interacting. And so every couple of weeks, this is already happening. Open dialogue, communicating. You know, not a long sit-down subject, but just, you know, a little bit of teaching. See, we're training, right? We're training them. So, clear instruction. It's okay to wash, but never to play, never to touch and play. That's totally off limits. And also instruction what to do if they ever hear someone talk. And then also just simply tell them that God wants you to be pure. That's a part of God's plan. God wants you to be pure. And by you not playing and you not talking to others, you know, if you have questions, you come to mom and dad. You know, we'll talk. But don't ever talk to your siblings or to others about it. If you have questions, come to mom and dad. So there's clear instruction, right? Clear instruction. So, coming up through, after they're through that stage of the bathing, we go on into another phase. Now, let me, before I go on, I'd like to just simply say that we have this thing at our house, and I want to explain more detail later, but we have what I'm going to call a regular time with all of our children. And it varies. Sometimes we're not as consistent, and, you know, if you have eight children right now, there's six in our home, and the rotation gets a bit long at times. We try to every Monday evening take this time, or take an hour to an hour and a half with one of the children. We try to do that. And I'll give you more details as to how all that's done soon. But that becomes our time to do that then, rather than in the bathtub. Okay? But in the bathing time, that's where we start, and then it moves on into the next phase. Here's another heading. Answering questions when they ask. You know, children are inquisitive, right? They ask questions, and you know, their bright minds go everywhere, and sometimes they ask a question. So, hey mom, how are babies born? And you know what the tendency is, like, wow, you know. If you do that, guess what they'll do next time? They won't ask. Right? You know, they won't ask next time. A good answer for that type of thing is, you know, God has a special way for babies to be born, and once you get a little bit older, we'll give you more detail and explanation about that. Right? So we don't give them lots of information all of a sudden, but we give a clear answer, opens the door for future, and they'll ask next time, right? So when children ask questions about this nature of stuff, don't ever shrug it off. Many parents just sort of shut that thing down, and because they don't know how to respond, because it's this type of thing where, you know, how do I respond? Don't ever do that, because that closes the door, and that door has a tendency to stay closed as time goes on. Here is another heading. Sharing with them the facts of life. And I have put on here around age 10. Now, I've had parents say, wow, that's way too young. Others say, oh, if I would have not, you know, found anything out before age 10, you know, it would have been way too late. Okay, I'm just going to say that that's a rule of thumb. It has worked very well for us. At around age 10, we share with our children what I'm going to call the facts of life. Now, let me just give you a couple reasons why around that age. One reason is they will find out. And if we can give them, I don't know, please hear me, but if we share with these things and even give specifics, it's holy. It's holy. It's holy. Too many of us have this idea that, well, if I share with them, maybe they'll get perverted. No, this is holy. This is holy. And I want to give you specifics in that journey of how to share it with them. But if I could just help us understand that this is holy ground. This is not perverted. This is holy God-given information that has to be given to them from a holy perspective. Okay? Here's another thing. At the age 10, their level of understanding will be at a different place than at age 14. I don't know if you follow that. Their level of understanding will be limited enough. You know, parents have said, well, I mean, if I give that information, it's just like you would just defile them. No, it doesn't defile them. Let me just... This is a little bit comical, but I'm just going to tell you so that you understand the level of innocence that our children had, and yet the level of purity and holiness, it was all there, okay? Okay, so we have a couple sons that are married, so you don't know which one. But prior to one of our sons getting married, when we were going through more detail and just preparing them for marriage and specific facts. In doing so, he looked at us. He said, "Wow, see, I had no idea." He said, "You know, I just thought maybe it's something that mom and dad do, and you know, just quickly in the bathroom together, you know, right? All right, that's a level of innocence, right? Isn't that beautiful? You know, there's a level of innocence." And yet a level of understanding that's beautiful. You know, that's holy, pure, right, good. Okay, so, and if I come back to the idea, at the age 10, there is a level of simplicity that they have that'll be different at age 14. There lacks a level of understanding. So when we give these facts, their level of thinking through and taking things further will be at a different level than at 14. So by the time they get to age 14 and they have the ability to think a lot further, you know, while they've always known these facts, and yet, you know, their mind doesn't have the drive to, you know, do all the other things, you know. Okay. And again, I would say that on the exact age, this can be moved a bit with your environment and what you feel is best. But I just put the age 10 as a good age. That's worked well for us. So, we come to the age 10 and we talk about sharing with our children the facts of life. How do we do that? What do we say? Well, how do we go about this? And there are some parents who have come and said, "Well, is it okay if we maybe use a book to help us guide through and dialogue through that?" Yes, I think that would be okay. I prefer myself not to use a book, but I would feel like that would be a workable thing. If you, as an example, John Koblenz has a little booklet called God's Will for My Body. And if you'd use that booklet and you just dialogue with your son or daughter through that and have it, you know, and you talk through that, I think that can work effectively. But don't just hand it to them. Okay? It's, you know, it's something that if you go through there and use that as a format to walk through, it can open the door and make it, you know, maybe less difficult for you as a father. But ultimately, if I come back to, if you listen to Brothers Andy's sermon earlier, with that whole relationship aspect, there is something about talking about with your children on this level that opens the door that it's okay to just talk about everything. If you can have that relationship, you share, they share. You know, it's a two-way thing. It's reciprocating. Anyhow, you know what I meant. I got hobbled. All right. But it's a two-way street. Got it? It's a two-way street. It's not just me sharing and leaving there, but it's a dialoguing back and forth. Okay. Now, I would like to just go through and mention some very specific things that we talk about when we sit down with our children. You know, we maybe have the others either playing somewhere where, you know, we're out in the front porch or we're out by ourselves. And by the way, I encourage a mom and a dad to do it together. I really encourage that. There's something about a mom and a dad doing it together with your son and with your daughter. It encourages this together. We're in this together. Everything's open between mom and dad. Everything's open between them and mom and dad. I encourage doing it together as a husband and wife with your son or with your daughter. And I tend to say sons, you know, pretty quickly because I have 7 sons and 1 daughter. So here are some specifics that I just simply, when we sit down, I'll just simply say, well, son, there's what I'm going to call the facts of life that we just simply want to talk about here. You're at the age where I would like to give you a holy, biblical, God-given view of something that you don't know about, but you need to know. These are things that you're going to, as time goes on, you're going to become more familiar with. But it's very important that we talk to you about it because it's holy. And we want to give you a God, beautiful, biblical, godly view so that you don't get into all the sin, the wickedness, and the immorality. That's why we're doing it. We want to help you and preserve you so you don't get into all the bad stuff. So, when I move forward, I just simply say that in talking about, you know, the facts of life, I want to talk about some of the things that happen within a marriage and how babies are born and how what happens between a husband and a wife. We know what's called sex, what's called intercourse, what's called, you know, the Bible, you know, talks about a man knowing a woman or knowing his wife. You know, some of those terms. I want to talk to you about that to help you understand what it is, because most of the world has a perverted view, but I want to give you a godly view. Then we go on, and I simply talk about that, you know, you have probably wondered why it is that, you know, some of our children, you know, look like dad and some look like mom, right? Well, I go on to share that God's perfect plan that within a lady, there's eggs that are within a lady, and those eggs won't start growing until they're fertilized. And what happens is they need to be fertilized by a man. It needs to be fertilized, and when that egg is fertilized by from a man to a woman, when that's fertilized, that is the beginning of life. And that's when a woman becomes pregnant. That's the beginning of this whole cycle when a lady is pregnant and then they have a baby. That is the beginning. So there's an egg, there's eggs within ladies, and it needs to be fertilized by sperm from a man. And again, I come back and say, now, there's a, you know, within marriage, this is so beautiful, it's holy, it's godly, but outside of marriage, I mean, people do this stuff outside of marriage, and they ruin their lives. There's babies born outside of marriage, there's all the homeless children, all kinds of stuff, and that stuff is wicked, it's ungodly. And I might even refer to someone that, you know, some lady who got pregnant that they know. Some lady who got pregnant outside of marriage. And I refer to that. That happened outside of marriage. And that's wicked. It's ungodly. And we just simply talk about that. Then I come back and I just simply say that, you know, and again, I'm talking to boys right here. Just simply say that, you know, what that is, you know, under your penis, there's a scrotum. And there's semen in there. And I'll just simply say that, you know, that in a marriage, man's penis is put into a lady's vagina, and then the egg is fertilized. Now, you know, no more details, right? Okay? They don't need to know more details than that. Okay? That level of detail is specific. And yet it's holy, it's not defiling, they have an understanding, but it's, you know, they know, but they don't know everything that goes with that. I know, do you follow what I mean? Okay, there's so much more beyond that, but that is a very basic, that's the basic element of what happens, and to give them that level of information, and then you hear what my son says, right? Right? Innocence. Okay, so it's pure, it's holy, it's very pure information that, you know, that we give them. So, you know, just very, very basic, very simple. Then, and, you know that when that happens, that term, when that happens, the word, you know, that's used for sex, intercourse, sleeping together, Adam knew Eve. Those are terms that are used for that act. Okay? So, all of a sudden, we're giving them information, so when they're reading through the Bible and they read something, oh, that, you know, that's it. But it's not defiling. It's knowledge, it's understanding, but it's... And yet they don't know, right? They know, but they don't know. It's a level of simplicity that is very helpful and yet very innocent. I might also just at that point also say that, when a baby is then born, it comes out of a lady's vagina. Just a simple term. With the mom, with the mom and dad, that's a beautiful thing within just a marriage. But I don't, we don't go into other information. So, then, we'll also talk about, that's why, some ladies get pregnant before they're married, because they sleep together. I use the term sleep together. They have sex outside of marriage. We just talk about. And we just, again, emphasize, don't ever go there. That's very holy, very godly, but most of the world has perverted this whole thing, and our goal is to help you so you can be pure. Now, also, this is a part of telling them the facts of life, okay? And I'm going to continue here. With that, I will also, first talking to a boy, I will give specific instruction about or understanding about, you're coming, you're 10 years old, and in the next couple of years, I'm not sure exactly when, but sometime in the next couple of years, you will probably have a wet dream, because you're at the place where your body is going to start to change. And as your body changes, your body is making this semen, and that is specifically for in marriage. But sometimes, because you're not married, the natural way for it to release is for you. You might wake up one night, and all of a sudden you're wet, and you're trying to figure out, did I pee myself? What happened? Well, that's a wet dream. Okay, and I just want you to know, when that happens, that's okay. And I'll also tell them that sometimes when boys have wet dreams, there can be actually sinful thoughts that go with that. If that ever happens, come let me know when that happens. But that's not normal. But for you to simply wake up and there's a wet dream, that's normal. If it happens, just go to the bathroom, clean up, put on new shorts, everything's good. But I like to know the first time that happens. Just come tell me. that way we have a connection. All right? So again, we're preparing him for what's coming, right? And for a girl, on the same hand, we're instructing her about her period. We're talking to her. We share with her, sometime in the next couple of years, you'll start bleeding. There's this monthly cycle that goes, and you'll start bleeding. When that happens, you come to mom right away, and she has pads, and we'll help you through that. But that's something with the whole body change thing. Just expect that. That's a part of that. So there's a complete preparation for that. Not only that, I will also specifically with the boys talk with them about they're entering a stage of life when their mind, their eyes are going to be quickly attracted to girls, and they might start thinking of sexual things. And when their mind starts doing that, this is what you need to do. Okay? All right, so if they haven't been involved in anything up to this point, normally, you know, they're attracted to girls, but it's not really a, you know, it's not really a part of their thought process. But I will tell them, okay, so when you think about something in a sexual way about a girl, that's wrong. That's wrong. But when the thought comes to you, just because a thought came, that's a temptation. But then when a thought comes, you need to choose to put your mind on something else. And then that's not a sin. If you continue thinking about it, that's a sin then. So as a young boy, you're going to face that. You're going to face those thoughts all of a sudden wanting to come. And when they come, you just choose to put your mind on something else. So, you know, and I just tell them, I face that too. You know that's a part of every man's life is those thoughts will come, and it's how you respond to that. Okay, so we're preparing him, right? 10 years old, we're preparing him for the journey that's coming. Another thing is, son, we're giving you a level of detail, and before you get married, then we'll give you more detail. And any time between now and then, if things come up, we want you to know that the door is totally wide open. We're here to answer questions. We're here to talk. In fact, we're going to continue. You know, we keep talking about, you being pure, and we've been doing that for years already. This is just a continuation. So anything that comes up in the future is just a continuation of what we've already been doing, helping them to be pure. Also, with the boys, a good thing is to just specifically mention that, that for ladies, they have a monthly cycle and there's bleeding involved. And if you see in the wastebasket, in the trash can, some feminine napkins in there, that's what that is. They go through that cycle and there's bleeding involved. And so that's just a part of a lady's thing that they go through. And once once you're at a place where are you ready to get married, we'll give you a lot more details about that. Okay? So that takes the curiosity away. So what happens with young boys if they don't know that? Looking in the trash can, like, wow, wonder where that comes from. And their mind goes, right? So what we're doing is giving them a level of understanding and a level of pure, holy, godly insight in a very simplistic way, and then taking their curiosity away and putting them to a place of rest. That's the goal. Another thing we'll also talk is in these next years, you'll probably have natural attractions. Girls to boys and boys to girls. And as time goes on, we're going to be talking to you about those things, where your attractions are. Because that's very important to us. And it's not wrong for you to have an attraction, but we're going to help you. When those attractions come, we're just going to be talking about that. And we'll help you sort through that. So, all these things are God-given, God-ordained, and we want to help. We're going to be here to walk through these things with you. Another thing for a girl, we might also mention the emotional thing that goes with going through a cycle, and just mention that, you'll probably notice when this happens, it'll have an emotional effect. You'll feel down, you won't be your normal self. And all that, we just talk about the things that sort of go with that time when they go through that. So, that is to share the facts of life. That is, when we say facts of life, in a very simplistic way, that's it. But then is the continued journey. Prior to this point, we've been talking, and from here on out, we just continue talking. And I like to just come back a bit and talk about our, what I'm going to say, regular accountability, discipleship, walking with them through these teenage years. I'll also just simply share that in these years, for us and our family, and again, I say this carefully because they're not all grown yet, but for us in our family, we have had none of our children rebel, have any level of rebellion through their teenage years. None. There's no rebellion. And I'm going to say there's two things involved. One is being clear on the expectations and at a young age helping them to come to a place of surrendering their will. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow. The other thing is this whole thing of relationship, relating to them on a personal level. And I want to talk about that a little bit. So once a week, we endeavor to do this with one of our children. And we, I'll just put a clause in here. We miss sometimes, but we try to do this. So a 2 or 3 year old, I mean, I don't know how to say, but from a 2 and 3 year old to even after they're married, everyone will to this day say, you know, we just don't get enough personal time with you. This time that I'm talking about, we don't get enough of that time with you. Even after they're married, they say that. It's something they look forward to. It's not a time of dread. It's not a time when there's friction. It's not a time when there's, okay, it's a time of enjoyment. So, as a young child, 2, 3 year old, the older ones, they hear mom and dad are spending time with the older ones. And so they're waiting till their turn. And guess what we do when it's their turn? We get to play some cars with them, or maybe some tractors with them, or maybe some doll with them, or we'll have a little snack with them. And this time is about an hour to an hour and a half. It varies. But we spend this hour to an hour and a half with them. And it's a time, as a young child, it's just simply spending time with them. We play with them. Our Caleb, he's 8 years old, and he loves to do a little farming game or and then at the end have a snack afterward yet. And, he gets to stay up, and it's exciting stuff, But then in the end we'll say, okay, now, Caleb, there's a couple things that we want to talk about yet, and we'll talk about, so we have 7 boys, and out of our 7 boys, there's 3 of them that are like very strong-willed. Now, you know what it means to be strong-willed? Also, we have 3 out of the 7 that are strong-willed, and our youngest is one of those 2. And our next older one than him, he can just sort of boss him around and do all kinds of stuff, All right, so we have these discussions. We'll just say, and I'll ask Martha, so how have things been going with Caleb? How's he relating to Andre? Is he being respectful, or is he just bossing him around? And so we just dialogue. And if there's a need to just give him some direction with that, I'll just say, okay, well, Caleb, what you did there is something that's been happening, and we're just asking you to just make some change here. So this isn't replacing the spanking. It's not replacing the other things, but it's a time of very specific training. All right? So we just simply asked him to just make some changes. Another thing that, if anything else is happening, we'll ask him questions like, so who are your friends at church? What do you talk about? So are any of them being disrespectful to the others? And then I'll also ask, so did, on this purity thing about, you being pure. Does anyone ever talk about that? Okay, I'll ask specific questions. And then say, no, okay. Well, if that ever happens, you come and tell us right away. And have you been keeping yourself pure? Okay, this is my 8-year-old, right? And then, you know, I don't say this every time, but occasionally I'll bring back what it means to be pure. What it means to be pure is to not touch yourself or play with your private parts, not play with your penis, okay? Or not have any type of that type of thing. And you know, okay, so that part is a small part of our whole time together. Did you follow? That's not the subject, but it's a part of a relationship. It's a part of a discipleship. It's a part of the guiding process. And so on up through with the older ones. So, at some point, it's rather than games, it's, you know, we just sit down and talk. And we talk about everything, you know. There are no hidden subjects. You know, we just talk about, you know, our teenagers, boys, daughter, you know, we talk about their attractions to boys and girls. We talk about maybe there's some things we want them to be changing in their clothes, or maybe there's an attitude. Maybe there's an attitude that's going on. Here's another thing that we do is we open, as a mom and dad, we open ourselves to them and we say, you know, Benji, I know mom and dad, we're not perfect, and sometimes we do things that are hurtful to you. Is there anything that that I've been doing? I'll ask it and Martha will ask. Is there anything that I have been doing that have been hurtful that make it difficult for you to just be open? Or is there anything that would be helpful for me to know that are offensive and difficult for you? So guess what happens? If there is anything, we can talk about it. And if it's not, it just creates an openness, a further openness. And you know, if they bring something, I'm grateful to hear that because I need to grow, right? Mom needs to grow, right? And it's a drawing together. So, talking about who their friends are, see if they have been keeping themselves pure and have talked to others. Talk about attractions, talk about music they listen to, talk about attitudes and behavior in the home, hearing their struggles that they face. They might be, you know, maybe something happened between them and a friend and they just need to talk about it. It's a time of Martha and I opening ourselves to them. And here is another one. This is a time of opening the door and just telling them, you know, God is going to be talking to you. So even from 8, 9, 10, we start prepping them and just say, you know, one of these days, and it's often between the ages of 13 and 16, sometimes younger, but often in that age, sometimes God's going to start knocking on your heart. And when God knocks on your heart and He draws you, what you need to do is come and tell us right away. Okay? Am I right that many teenagers, when God starts drawing, they sort of close their heart? Am I right? Okay? So what we do is we prep them and tell them how to move forward. When God starts talking to them, how to respond. So presently, we have 6 out of our 8 children that are converted. And 6 out of the 8 children have never had a gap between when God started calling them and when they responded to God. Now, do you follow that? Isn't that how it ought to be? Sometimes, there's this gap of a couple years where there's this inner fight and just attitude toward parents or attitude toward, you know, whatever. Okay? It ought to be that we're prepping them. We're preparing them. And we tell them how to respond. When God starts knocking at your heart's door, what we want you to do is just come tell us. And what we often do then, if they come, we'll try to sort through it. I want to talk about that, how to sort through, okay? But we're preparing them for a clear conversion. I'd like to maybe just quickly mention that prior to courtship, we also talk with them just some specific things about having carefulness. You know, with the boys, we might specifically tell them about a girl's monthly cycle and how that affects their emotions. And we might give some specific guidance to the girls on the specific of, being careful, reaching over men, bending over various things in front of a boyfriend, those type of things. Just, just sort of connect and also share that as hearts grow closer, some of those emotions will become more, will move forward, and it's just very important to be clear. We just, have that level of accountability. And then also, just before marriage, we have a very specific dialogue with our children before they get married. There's a book, and I don't know if you have it, but there's a book that I would recommend is a good book to give and then dialogue. It's called, it's by Ed Wheat, Intended for Pleasure. That's a good book to give to both a man or a young man and a girl, a couple weeks before they get married, and then just sit down and have some very good frank talks and honesty yet. And I'm not going to go into what to talk there, but I don't have time for that. But it's important to do that to prepare them for the next step. What I'd like to spend a little bit of time here yet is specifically on this coming to conversion. Sometimes parents have a very difficult time sorting through when a child is ready for conversion, when they're too young, whether God is clearly speaking to them, or whether it's just their emotions and they're too young yet. Okay, I want to give just a couple thoughts. But I'd like to specifically mention here that the goal of them coming to conversion, a good goal to have, is to bring them to where we're encouraging them to, when God starts talking, and it might be through a church service, it might be laying in their bed at night, there's various places that happens. When that happens, come to mom and dad right away and tell us that God is starting to talk to you. When that happens, we sit down with them. And we like to do it as a couple. We sit down with them, and we just try to hear what's going on. So God's calling you. God, well, that's a blessing. And, an eight-year-old might even do that, right? And sometimes parents have this fear, what do I do? Okay, if we feel like they're not ready, how do I not pour cold water on it, right? There's a fear of that. How do I walk through all that? Okay, so what we're trying to sort through this whole conversion thing is want to try to sort through, is it on this level where their difficulties are happening? On this level, or am I lost before God? Do you follow? So sometimes they might come and say, oh, I feel lost. I want to get born again. Oh, good. Praise the Lord. So I ask, what is it that's bothering you? Well, I wasn't very kind to my siblings. I was just cranky to mom or cranky to dad, or I just wasn't being kind. And I asked them more questions. And if the things that are coming are on this level, even though they might have said, I want to be born again, this is what I'll do. I'll just simply say, thank you for coming. What we want to do is, I think you need to go back to mom and dad, whoever it is, and apologize. And we're going to pray with you here and ask God to forgive you for that. But then you keep your heart open. When you feel that again, you come again. All right? So we're not throwing away what's going on in here. Neither are we putting a stamp on and say, oh, now you're converted. Oh, do you follow? We're helping them take another step of clarity. So if I say that our children are clear, they have had a clear conscience. If there are things they have done, they have gone back and confessed. And so their conscience is clear. And all of a sudden, there's this thing between me and God and I'm lost. Then they're ready to get converted. So we try to sort through whether it's on this level or whether I'm lost before God. Now, you don't tell them what you're looking for, but you ask questions to try to determine that. And when it's just on this level, you help them to pray. And then normally they're at rest. They're happy. And they're waiting for the next time when God speaks to them. And God did speak to them, right? But it wasn't conversion. But when God speaks to them on this level, at that point where I'm, and they might even use the words, I'm afraid to die. But the afraid to die might be because of what they've done to the siblings. It's not being lost before God. It's very important that it's like, I'm lost before God. And maybe not even that terminology, but where you sense in your hearts that it's on this level and not just on this level. Now, it might have to do with this level too, but there's clearly a lostness between God and I. How can we be found if we're not lost? How can we find salvation if there isn't a lost condition? And they don't have to have loads of sin. In fact, for all of our children to date, when we actually sat down for them to be converted, there really wasn't anything to pray about except their lost condition. Everything else was current. Everything else was current. But I'm lost. They knew they were lost. There's no question there. Sometimes we spent another day fasting, and then the next evening we prayed with them and helped them to get converted. So we don't want to pour cold water on it, but what we want to do is help them become clear. All right. Questions. I think we'll just move on to questions. Do you have questions? Yes. Do we have a mic over here?
Yeah, I was just wondering. I know you mentioned something about with a young girl, and talking to them about facts of life. Mm-hmm. And well, first of all, you mentioned about the boys and even the part of as far as intercourse and mm-hmm. so forth, and just explaining that on a very basic level. Mm-hmm. Do you do that with the girl as well? You mentioned about their periods or their monthly cycles coming through, but what about the copulation or the...
Yes, thank you. Yes, we do. So what we'll simply do is talk about the... talk about the monthly cycle or the egg and all that. But then for the boy and the girl, we'll just simply say that a man will put his penis into a lady's vagina and it will there's semen from a man that then fertilizes the egg. So we'll do that for both, but we'll use that terminology that a man will put his penis into a lady's vagina. Mm-hmm. Yes. Other questions?
This is not a question. I just wanted to affirm what he shared about talking to the facts of life to your children. We had three sons in a row that somehow we sort of dropped the ball. We had that booklet for a boy of 12, and I guess we forgot about it and we thought about it. So I had a probably 10 or almost 10-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 15-year-old that I, maybe it was 14, 12, 9, something like that. Anyway, the point is that I went over, read the booklet, and used some of my own wording and asked some questions and a little bit of dialogue. And then later, I talked to them individually to see what they understood. And the oldest one was a little bit embarrassed. And the youngest one didn't fully understand it. And the other one said, yeah, he understood it all. But I like the fact that even though when they're 10 or 9, they don't quite understand it, it helps as they go on through, as you mentioned. I like that part of it.
Amen. That's good. Very important. Very important. Yes, over here.
When you were talking with your sons, did you talk to them about masturbation? Did you explain that to them, or how did you handle that?
Thank you. I missed that. The question here is, did I explain masturbation? Yes, I explained masturbation, but I'll take it a step farther. I do it both for boys and girls. Boys are more likely to get into it, but girls also do. And what I describe, the way I describe masturbation is, for a boy, I'll simply say that if a boy rubs his penis, you know, it feels good, it's pleasurable, and when that's done, after a while, it's what's called masturbation, and semen comes out. But here's the thing that I feel is very important, and that I feel is very, very important. I tell the boys that there's so many boys that start it and have such a difficult time to ever stop. So it's very, very important for you to never start, because if you start, it's so difficult to get out of it. And the same way with pornography, I will tell them what pornography is. I will simply tell them that pornography, what it is, it's the things that we talk about, and it's men and women undressed doing these sexual things. And people that get hooked or get started on that have an awful time quitting. And so I will tell them both masturbation and the pornography that don't ever get started. It's so difficult to stop. That's a very good point. But I will just simply, and then for the girls, I'll just simply say that masturbation is when you rub yourself, play with yourself because it feels good, and you keep doing it to a place where it, where you have a, whatever you call it. But I will specifically use that terminology, and I will tell them that once you start, it's so difficult to quit. So please don't start playing with yourself, because once you start, it's so difficult to quit. And of course, for me as a leader, young men here in church, here and there I bump into men and the struggle they have, and I can easily, without naming names, I talk to them about, there's boys from church who just have a very, very difficult time because they started this and don't ever start. But, yeah, it's... Yeah, thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah.
So being proactive with information the way you described, did you face a lot of questions that were beyond what you felt comfortable giving answers to, such as the boys noticing condom dispensers in bathrooms, that kind of thing, or did their curiosity remain satisfied to an extent where you seldom had to defer a question or postpone information?
Almost never had to give any information, because there's a level of relationship that we had that they just, their level of curiosity was so low that they knew it was a part of that bad package, and they knew, I don't want it. even for different of ours getting married, then I asked them, so was the amount of information that we gave, was the right amount, too much, too little?
They're like, well,
you know, it seemed right. It was, you know, it, you know, it was very restful for them. So, but just like that, I don't, if I see that and I see one of our younger boys, even older boys, and you see something like that, you know, I might just tell them that, you know, that's what, you know, that's what people do when they're married, when they're not married, to try to make that they don't conceive and have babies and stuff, and it just, you know, it's not right. And, you know, I just, you know, just comments like that can, you know, I'm apt to, if I see something that has the potential of doing that, I'll just, you know, make a comment, you know, and that helps. You know, I think to bring that rest. Yes. That's at age 10. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's at age 10. I would, on the masturbation and the pornography, I'll do that as a part of the facts of life. As a part of the facts of life, and I just, yeah, sorry I didn't mention that, but as a part of that package, and then I'll actually keep reiterating some of that going on up through that. I'll bring it back and just say, hey, you know, thank you for being pure and not playing with yourself. I mean, people that get started with that, they just have such a difficult time. It just, it's worth not going into it. And so I keep reiterating that, and it helps, you know, keep it at a restful place. I might also just say that if you're at a place where you have not had this relationship coming up through, it's not too late. Even as a teenager, I would suggest just sitting down and just dialoguing on the things that we talk about, and just simply even opening yourself and just say, hey, this is a very awkward subject. I don't know how to talk about it. And I know it's awkward for me, and I know it's awkward for you, but I'd like to have this level of relating to you, and just have mercy on me. But, you know, would you please open your heart to me? I'd like to open myself to you. And even then, if you know that there are certain struggles they have, if you can relate to them from where you have been, that's helpful. They know that there's a working together. They know where you've been. You know, you don't want to bring undue if they haven't been in it, but if there's, you know, if they're going through things that, you know, that you've been through, you know, just open yourself with that. And it, you know, there's something about being honest and just relating. And again, if I say honest, I'm not talking about all the details, but enough of detail that brings clear answers, but not extensive to defile and take it places that it shouldn't. Other questions? Yes.
Yeah, I know that you were holding up the ideal as far as fathers and mothers talking to their daughters and sons together. What if a mother doesn't feel like it would be good, or maybe for some reason knows that her husband is simply not going to participate in talking to the girls or whatever. Do you have any recommendations for that?
So maybe I should just say this, that I would say that it's a good thing to have an expectation in a brotherhood that there is some level of openness with that on the subject. And if it's not at that place, that they can even ask for the leadership in the church to assist in helping them discuss and talk about it. I mean, I wouldn't hesitate a minute to sit down with any of our brother, any of our families, and one or two of the children to just dialogue about the subject. But I would say there ought to be an expectation within a brotherhood that this is an expectation to have a level. And granted, I'm sure it'll be at different levels. But somehow we have to endeavor to sort through it. And if we feel we can't, then I think we ought to have a level of expectation that we reach out for help to accomplish it on a level that's workable. So I would encourage leadership, or, you know, for there to be an expectation that this is a part of, of brotherhood, and this is a part of expectation on how to train our children, because if we don't, you know, the results won't be good. Thank you.
I have a question on how, like, on diaper changing and on bathroom, taking siblings to bathrooms, and how old is too old for a girl to take a boy to the bathroom, and if the boy is 3 years old and doesn't want to go with his sister to the bathroom, is that rebellion, or is he starting to have self-respect? And how old should a girl be when she starts changing her brother or cousin's diaper or niece and that? And if, yeah, I just have a question on that.
Sure. So I don't know if I get all the questions, but if I would say specifically on the thing of changing siblings' diapers and things, if there's a level of dialogue about these things to the nature that I'm talking about, for a girl to change brother's diapers, I would say that would be totally fine, in order and in place for a girl to do that. But then I would say in a carefulness, let's just say you have your three-year-old and he's a little bit sensitive about it, then maybe to just default to mom on it, I think would be in order. I think it, you know, for diaper change and that type of thing, if it's for that specific purpose or for bathing, I think it can be in order. But outside of those kind of things, it's off limits. So I would say that specific guidance should be given. This is okay for changing diapers and bathing, but nothing else, you know, type of thing. But I would say that it, you know, if this kind of conversation can happen, then there ought to be a workability with that. Another thing I feel is very important is to, even as far as sleeping arrangements and boys, girls getting dressed, just be very careful with where they get dressed and not get dressed. Those things are very, very important. Very important that there's no seeing each other, and you know, when there's that level, you know, when changing clothes and all that, when that happens. And be appropriately dressed when they come into the living room. And also, I think it's good, although things come into the same line with you know, wearing night clothes to come out, you know, in the living room, you'll be properly dressed. That you can wear night clothes, but I think we need to give direction as to that it's modest to be good and clear. Other questions? One comment that I might make is I've had the question asked. So many of our people tend to have animals and those types of things. I've had people ask the question, well, what about using animals? You know, sometimes our children get a level of education with animals. You know, can that be used as an illustration of what happens? I would say that I would probably steer away from it, because that's not holy. It's similar, but that's not holy. We're lifting up holiness. That's not holiness. So it can, if a question comes up even about that, you know, a comment could be made that it's similar than that. But to use it as a specific example, I will probably be careful with that. Other questions? Yes.
I was wondering how you've done with your children when it comes to interaction with extended family and also with church people, because I wonder if the people that raised their hands that found out about the facts in an unholy way, if we ask those same people, how many of them was exposed to that through a family member or somebody you went to church with, I expect that the majority has to go up level. Again. So, yeah, what was your guidelines if your children were that pure up to that age? How did you handle being no family gatherings and church crowds?
Sure. And I think I would come back to the specific that in church, like for our children, in church, our children have to be in the same room as either mom or dad is up till the age of about 11, 12 or so, and then maybe they can be outside in certain areas. So at church, that's how we would relate. At someone's house, when we would, when we go places, we might specifically say, okay, now, I'll remember, no closed doors. If you need something in a barn, you can go in and get it, but no playing in the barn, no playing out in the trees all by yourself, just those types of things. We would give, knowing the setting, the situation, we would give specific guidelines as to where they can and can't play. And then, of course, if there's any type of conversation, come immediately. We never had them come and share, but the potential is there for it to happen because of the, just like the hands here, like you said, it's very possible for that to happen. And any time that there's a lot of children, that potential is there. But normally, the things happen if there's a couple by themselves away out with a level of privacy. That's where the things tend to happen. It's not normally where it's all exposed and everyone else is in the middle of that. So you just have a very careful with those parameters. Yes.
Yeah, how would you view boys and boys getting ready for bed together, going swimming, and girls together? Would there be caution there? I guess there'd be some that have already, they all did it alone, the whole family. What would your view be on that?
So, as far as obviously for boys to change shirt and pants in the same room, in the bedroom, we've been okay with that, but just the changing, but not beyond that. If anything more than that, they go to the bathroom to do that. As far as swimming together, we have, as a family, immediate family swimming together, but not beyond immediate family. Now, if I say immediate family, ours are at the age where there's in-laws and all that, and it just don't work, okay? But as younger children, going to a pond and swimming together, just as a family, we've done that already. But as they get older and any other type of mixed, we haven't done that. And, of course, an expectation to be adequately clothed even for swimming, very important. It seems like it tends to break down pretty quickly, when it comes to swimming on the expectations. Yes, others? All right. Trust it's helpful. We're all in this journey together, aren't we? It's a journey. But such a blessing when our children can come up through and we can see them come, be at a pure place, go on into marriage and not having to deal with all the trash. Let me just tell you, people that get into things have issues, things they'll face later on. There's struggles that come with some of that, even though they can be forgiven and all those things taken care of. It's just difficulties that come with that. All right. Lord's blessings to you all.